Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, everyone. Once again, we're here with you on this ministry program. Brother Dwayne Harshaw. Thanking the Lord, giving him honor tonight, life, health, and strength. Giving him honor for letting me be a part of another program tonight on this live network. Thanking him for each and every one that may be listening in or that may call in tonight. Truly is an honor and a blessing to be a part of God's people in the name of Jesus. Knowing that He is the source of all of our needs, all of our hope, all of our peace and joy. Thanking Him for just allowing us to come together once again to do the things that He would have us to do concerning His holy word. I ask you to continue to pray for me, and I do the same for each and every one of you. My prayer request tonight consist of all of our ministry that is struggling and going through something right now. Each and every household that may be facing situations in life now, with family, friends, neighbors, surrounding communities. Continuing to pray for our children as they get prepared for that journey back to school. Mothers, fathers, in the process of getting them prepared. I want to continue to pray for all of our church members and loved ones in each and every community. We pray for the incarcerated. Pray for all of our police force for the things that they're going to be facing on this next school year. Asking you to protect and lead them in the right way, Lord. All of our world leaders that truly, truly, truly do need your prayers. That's making decisions for things up and around the world that need to be led by the Spirit of God, that continue day in and day out to mess up, not considering that there's a higher master than them. We go through and they make decisions in the wrong way and feel like that it's all right, but they're going to have to pay for it one day. We ask that each and every one continue to pray in the right way. Pray for our Christian people around them that are going behind, trusting in the lies that are told and backing them without speaking out on the right and the wrong and the things that are been done, and encouraging them to do things in the right way. Pray for our rest home people that is suffering each and every day from the lack of the care that they should be getting and having within the rest homes and in the in-home care situations. We pray for the incarcerated. We pray for the world as a whole. We don't want to leave anyone out. We know so many things is going on and about around the world. But God knows. God's in control. No matter what the situation may be, nothing's too hard for God. He can make the impossible possible. The unbelievable. He can turn anything around for the better of this world, if it be his will. Help us as his people, his children, the Christians, to live a life according to the will of God, and faithful and holy in the eyes of people surrounding us and in the eyes of the Lord, to live that holy life as Christian people. Our precious Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we come before you, Lord, humbling ourselves, knowing, Lord, that you are the source for all things. Nothing good that we've done in life, Lord, but your mercy and grace has covered us, Lord, given us opportunities, dear God, that sometimes we take for granted, Lord, thinking that we know best. We ask that you help us, Lord, not to lean to our own understanding in these situations of life. We have your word to go by, Lord, as Christians, to know better. Help us to always come to you, dear God, in situations in life, to be able to have the discernment to know what to do, the right and the wrong in situations around and about our lives. We ask that you bless our children along the way on this journey that we go through, that we will teach them and pray for them and love them, to let them see, Lord, that we are living a life as a Christian person for the Lord. We're not out in the world doing the worldly things, dear God. We're living a Christ-like life, trusting in Jesus through it all. We ask you, Lord, to strengthen us in every order of our life, dear God, in the areas that we need to be strengthened, Lord, and the things that we need to be doing before you, dear God. We ask, Lord, that you let your spirit lead and guide us through all truth and understanding. Let us be led, Lord, by the Holy Spirit, that we do the right things within life according to your word. Bless each and every prayer request, Lord, that's already been requested, dear God. All of our bishops, our pastors, deacons, saints, friends, apostles, prophets, teachers, around and about, Lord. Help us to continue to teach our children in the right way that we should, dear God, out of love, and let them know, dear Lord, that it's all about Jesus. Whatever they do, do it to the glory of God in the name of Jesus. Because it's all about what Christ has done for us. We thank him for such a great and perfect salvation. Without it, we're nothing. Without it, we couldn't make it. We thank you, Jesus, for what you've done for each and every one of us to have an opportunity at such a great salvation. We honor you. And we continue to lift up your holy name. All these blessings and prayers we ask in the precious name of Jesus we pray. Amen. 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 Once again, we do give an honor to God in our lives for life, health, and strength, and for the things that he continues to give us through his word. Tonight, we're just going to check out a few things that I thought about. And it says, does God answer the prayers of unbelievers? Does God answer the prayers of unbelievers? It says, God is sovereign and can choose to answer any prayer he sees fit. But Scripture clearly indicates that God does not listen to or answer every prayer. In fact, Scripture gives at least 15 reasons for unanswered prayer. God does not answer the prayer of those, number one, who have personal and selfish motives. James chapter 4, verse 3 says, "You ask and do not receive, because you ask amiss, that you may spend it on your pleasure." So you're not asking for prayer in the right way. And as a Christian or an unbeliever, just letting us know, you're not asking the prayer in the way that it should come by the will of God. And he's letting us know that we have to ask in the right way. Then it says, number two says, who regard iniquity in their hearts. If you regard iniquity in my heart, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear Psalm 66, 18. If I regard iniquity, sin in my heart, the Lord will not hear Psalm 66, 18. It means that you can't live any kind of way and ask the Lord and pray and ask the Lord for something, knowing that you're not living a right life when you pray. You're praying with sin deep down inside, thinking that, you know, God's going to answer that prayer, when you're not even living according to God's will or his word. There have to be some changes made within your life in order for God to answer that prayer. It also says that, it says, does God answer the prayers of unbelievers? Number three says, who remains in sin, but your iniquities have separated you from your God. Your sin has separated you from God, and your sins have hidden his face from you, so that he will not hear. Isaiah 59:2. Now we know that God does not hear sinners, but if anyone is a worshiper of God and does his will, he hears him. John 9:31. So let me read that again, because it says, who remains in sin, but your iniquities have separated you from your God. Your sins have. And your sins have hidden his face from you, so that he will not hear. Isaiah 59:2. And then the next one says, now we know that God does not hear sinners, but if anyone is a worshiper, a Christian, a child of God, a saint of the Lord, of God, and does his will, he hears him. And that is John chapter 9, verse 31. Number 4 says, the subject is, does God answer the prayers of unbelievers? Number four says, who offer unworthy service to God? You are presenting defiled food upon my altar. But you say, how have we defiled you? In that you say, the table of the Lord is to be despised. But when you present the blind of sacrifice, it is not evil. The table of the Lord is to be despised. But when you present the blind of sacrifices, is it not evil? But when you present the blind of sacrifices, is it not evil? And when you present the lame and sick, is it not evil? Why not offer it to your governor? Would he be pleased with you? Or would he receive you kindly? Say the Lord of hosts. But now will you not entreat God's favor, that he may be gracious to us with such an offering on your part? Will he receive any of you kindly, says the Lord of hosts. So it's letting us know that we can't offer any kind of sacrifice or anything up to the Lord and feel like that it's not evil, because we're supposed to offer up the first good of everything that we have unto the Lord, the best of the best, before anything after. And we're not supposed, it's just like when he had them to offer up sacrifices. They had to have the best of sacrifices to offer up. They couldn't bring anything that was lame or sick or anything like that until the Lord to sacrifice it. There was no good. So he let them know the way that they should offer up sacrifices, what kind of sacrifices, and how they was to do it in the way of the Lord. And it says, who forsake God? Thus says the Lord to this people. Thus they have loved to wander. They have not restrained their feet. Therefore the Lord does not accept them. He will remember their iniquity now and punish their sins. Then the Lord said to me, do not pray for this people for their good. When they fast, I will not hear their cry. And when they offer burnt offerings and grain offerings, I will not accept them. But I will consume them by the sword, by the famine, and by the pestilence. Jeremiah chapter 14, verse 10 and 12. These are, it says, does God hear the prayers does God answer the prayers of unbelievers? And this is what it's saying. It says, who rejects God's call? Because I, with eyes, wisdom, have called and you refused. I have stretched out my hand and no one will guard it. Because you destroyed all my counsel and would have none of my rebuke. Then they will call on me, but I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, but they will not be, but they will not find me. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 24 and 25, and then it's got 28 past that. Proverbs. So he's letting us know the things that we need to know according to his will and the prayers that we pray. We have to live a life worthy of a Christian. Anybody just can pray for you. Anybody can't just feel that they can say, well, I'm going to be praying for you, and God's going to answer the prayer. And they go out there and they live any kind of way, do anything that they want to, feel like it don't matter. But when it comes time for them to be around, they act as if they're saved, they're Christians, they're doing the will of God and living. But at the same time, they're out there living the world, being in the world, satisfying themselves with the worldly things. But when troubles come their way, they're ready to pray for you and anyone else. But the thing is, it don't work like that. God, as it said from the beginning, I'm going to read this again. It says, God is sovereign and can choose to answer any prayer he sees fit. But Scripture clearly indicates that God does not listen to or answer every prayer. In fact, Scripture gives at least 15 reasons for unanswered prayers. God does not answer the prayer of those. And that one says, who remains in sin? If you remain in sin and you're looking for something, just letting you know, you have to live a life worthy of what the calling of the Lord is in order to be able to, you have to be sincere from the heart. It's basically what everything boils down to. Sincere from the heart to know and believe that God is going to answer your prayer, live faithfully, and have the hope in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Have salvation in the inside to where you have repented. And ask the Lord. And it talked about this. He hears the prayer of a repentance prayer of a sinner man if they repent. Asking the Lord to come into their life. You know, if he didn't hear the prayers of the sinner man, they wouldn't have a way to be saved. So it's not that they can just ask for anything and pray for anything in life. When they come to the Lord sincere with the heart of repentance, then the Lord will change their life to live a life for Christ and be sincere to live that life to the Word and the will of God. Then you can tell me, well, I'm praying for you and you pray for me, and we're going to trust God together that he's going to answer that prayer no matter how long it takes. When he answers it, it will be on time. Might not be in my time or your time, but when it comes about, he's always on time. His promises is true. His love is true. His faithfulness is real. We can count on him through all things that we go through, whatever situation it may be. You know, I'm going through situations right now with struggles in life as far as things that's happening, things going on within the home, you know, that you just sometimes you're overwhelmed by, and so many situations come about in the process of those things that you still have to go along and do what you have to do. You still have to go on and trust the Lord, put it in His hands, continue to pray, continue to serve, continue to love, and continue to just do what you can do for the Lord. Continue to request prayer from the saints, from your loved ones that can. And you always want to live a life to where you can get a prayer through as God's child. People don't understand. You can't be children of the Lord if you're not a Christian. Many people say, I'm a child of God, but they're living out in the world doing any and everything they feel is right. And you're not a child of God. You're a child of the enemy. You're living in sin. And the thing is, until you get it right, repent. Turn your life around. And ask Christ to be the leader of your life. It's not going to work. Troubles come as well for the Christian man as it does for the sinner man. But as a Christian, we have the opportunity and we have the right to call on the Lord to help us and see us through and trust Him. We have to wait sometimes when it's so hard to wait. But if we wait on the Lord and trust Him and put it in His hands, and move to the side and move self out of the way, we know everything will work out for the good in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. May not work out the way we thought it was or the way we wanted to, but His way is the best way, no matter how we feel or we see it should have been. His way is the best way. We have to trust Him. Number 7 says, who will not heed God's law? It says, one who turns away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayers is an abomination. Proverbs chapter 28, verse 9. But they refused to heed, shrugged their shoulders and stopped their ears so that they could not hear. Yes, they made their hearts like flint, refusing to hear the law and the words which the Lord of hosts had sent by His Spirit through the former prophets. Thus great wrath came from the Lord of hosts. Therefore, it happened that just as He proclaimed, and they would not hear, so they called out, and I would not listen, says the Lord of hosts. It's letting you know, if you're not willing to live the life that God has given you and hear His word and live by His word, you can call as long as you want to. You can be stiff-necked and harden your heart from the Lord and feel like you can live and do anything that you want to and say, well, I pray for you when something happens to someone. You can't do it. Your prayer will not go anywhere. Number 8 says, who turned a deaf ear to cry of the poor. It says, whoever shut his ears to the cry of the poor will also cry himself and not be heard. Well, that tells the story. You keep thinking that you can live any kind of way, and you're treating people any kind of way, and you feel like you're doing right, and you're going to tell me, well, I'm praying for you. No, 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 don't pray for me. You're wasting your time. You have to be born again. And by being born again, you have to repent and accept Christ as your Lord and Savior. Repent, ask for forgiveness through the process. Once you ask for forgiveness and accept salvation into your life, you have to clean up the mess that's in your life and around you, which is called sanctification. You have to set your sins apart and your life apart from the things of sin around you and in your life to start to live a better life by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Read His Word, study His Word, begin to learn, hang around the saints, get away from the friends that don't mean you no good and the people around and about that don't mean you any good. Get with the spiritual side of people and get away from the worldly things in life. Ask the Lord to lead you and guide you through His Holy Spirit. And you will always have someone that He will put in your way as His child to help you and see you through the life that you're living. If you want it and you're living it sincere from the heart, but you can say all of these things, Lord, forgive me and everything, and not mean it down inside of your heart, and just go right back doing the same things that you're doing because you wasn't sincere from the beginning to live that life of Christ. So this is a heart thing, and it has to be strictly from the heart deep down inside. You have to believe in Jesus, knowing that He will and He can see you through. He can change you. But do we want it enough to want to be changed? Do we want to live a life for Christ? Or do we want to live a life for the world of sin? As our bishop always told us, there's not but one or two places that you're going to go, and you're not going to miss both of them. And death is not the end. We have to realize that there's more to it when we think about this life of salvation or this life of sin. There's much to be done as a Christian. We continue every day living, trusting, hoping in the Lord, loving one another, praying for one another. But you're living out into the world, I don't want you praying for me because your prayer is no good. I'm going to open up the mic, praise the Lord, and
hello, Freddie.
Comments from the callers. Praise the Lord. No. It is an honor and a blessing to have you here with me tonight. I have your mic on. Any comments? Any encouraging words that we may be able to share with one another?
Well, praise the Lord, brother.
Praise the Lord. How are we doing praise this God. Evening?
We're doing, God is blessing us and taking us through.
Yeah.
And we thank God for the program tonight because He's a good God.
Oh, yeah.
And we can do nothing. And to me, the hardest part is making up your mind that you want to serve God. And once you make your mind up, that's the hard part. Once you make your mind up, it's
that's
not
right.
hard to serve.
Because
that's right. he'll help. That's the hardest part is making up your mind. And once you make up your mind, God will help you do the rest.
Yes, he will.
He
yes,
will
he
help
will.
You do the rest. Praise
if
God.
If you're truly sincere.
He will, for you can't do it by yourself.
No, you
can't. And being sincere, and he will not turn a sincere prayer away.
No, he won't.
He hears sincere prayer. And
because he
prayer,
looks at the heart.
He looks at the heart, and he knows when you sense it in your heart.
He already knows.
And
he already
will
knows.
Forgive you of your sins, and once he forgives you for your sins, you on your way. Like
yes.
that song, Lord, now I'm on my way. You on your way, and he will help you every step of the way. Yes, you're going to be tried. Satan's going to try to bring you back out. But your mind is made up to go all the way.
That's right.
And he will help you. He will help you. And just like that preacher preached the other night about we should be encouraging one another.
Yeah.
Instead of looking encouraged, we're supposed to encourage one another.
Yes, we are.
We are one of another. We're supposed to uplift one another up. He said, when they say, well, what do I have?
Mm-hmm.
We are to encourage one another with the word of God.
That's right.
Encourage with the word of God. Because that's what, but when Satan tempted Jesus, he gave, Satan knew he was God in the flesh, but that didn't stop Satan. He still came at Jesus. God, but Jesus gave him the word. And that's what we have to do for one another. We have to encourage one another with the word. And lift one another up. When they down and out, just for you to make it. God is on your side. You can make it. Because he's taken me through, and I know he's going to take you through. He's a hit never leave you, no. Praise God. And if we continue to get ourselves out of the way and encourage someone else. We might be feeling bad ourselves, but be encouraging one another, we can cause ourselves to be uplifted.
Yes, we can.
And that's what
that is true. I found that to be true.
It is. And if we do that, we're helping somebody else along the way.
So true.
We're helping somebody.
I found out if I get away from myself and I'm going through and I'm down and out and I come in contact with somebody that's in need to hear an encouraging word and the Lord puts something in your heart to give somebody else. And when you give somebody else something, it seems like you get a joy out of it yourself because it's
good.
Yes, so God
will.
Help someone else help you in the process. And you're not even looking to be helped from it, and you end up being helped from it too.
That's right. You just encourage
somebody. He knows exactly what someone else needs for you to give to them, and then it's the same for you too.
That's right. So that's what we're supposed to do. Don't always go looking to be encouraged, but encouraging somebody else. And that way God will lift us up too.
Yes, he will.
That's what it's all about. Praise God.
Because someone is always needing an encouraging word. Some Christians, God's people,
they
spend time trying to be a help and an encouragement to so many people that they get down and out in situations too. And they need your prayers.
They need
the encouraging words. And the thing is, we can't forget the saints. We do encourage the sinner man, and we let them know, but we forget about the saints.
That's right. And they
and the saints, they need prayer because they're going through, but they're still standing.
They're still standing
on the word of God, the promises of God. They're still living the will of God, and they're struggling through situations, even though you know it or not. So they need your prayers. They need your love. They need that encouraging word that you can give them. I mean, you don't know what people's going through, but God knows. He's sending you to them people for a reason.
It's the truth. That is the truth. So they human, too. They
yes,
human
they are.
Too.
And just like our bishops and our assistant pastor, you know, we look at them because they're pastors. But the thing is, they having to go over the saints in the church as overseers and deal with all of that. Then they have to go home and deal with all the life situations within the home, within the family, and things still yet, even though they're looking over God's children at the church and preaching the word of God faithfully and holding on.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't know what they're going through when they're standing up behind that pulpit, but yet still they're faithful to the Lord to give his word the way that it should be given. They're giving you the truth, and then they have to go right back to their struggles.
That's right.
So they need our prayers. They need our encouraging words. They need our help in ways that we can help.
And let them know we love them and we pray.
Yes, we do. Have to.
We have to let them know that. We have to know that.
We have to let them know we love them. Because that's what it is all about.
We need to tell them.
And sometimes you get down and out and you feel like you're not loved because of situations you go through within the home. It may be a husband and wife. Even though that you know love's there, sometimes you just get that feeling that I just don't feel like I'm being loved. And it's nothing but the trick of the enemy.
It's the trick of the enemy.
Because you know you've been loved, but you get that feeling. And he makes you feel like that, and you have to look to the Lord and start talking to the Lord about the situation. And you know that, like he said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. He's right there by your side no matter what. And you start to feel that love all over again because somebody has said something to uplift you in some kind of way to let you know that there's love there for you.
Yeah, that's right. But we need one another.
We truly do.
And even though they know it, sometimes we need to tell them anyway and just give them a hug.
Yes, you do. Yes, you do. Because they'll say, yeah, I know you love me, but you, like you said, sometimes it takes just a little bit more than I love you.
Yes, that's right.
To show that love.
Go the extra step.
Yes, we do.
We love you.
Yes, we do.
That's
and it makes a difference to them.
Yes, it makes a difference.
It makes a whole different feeling to them to know that you said you love them. And then when you show that love and they truly feel that love,
that's right.
Even though they say, well, I know you love me, but it makes me feel even better for the love to be shown to me.
That's right. So,
you know,
I
we have a lot of situations in life that we go through, and we just sometimes just don't know what to do.
That's right.
And it says, who has no faith? It says, but let him ask in faith with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea. Driven and tossed by the wind, or let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. James chapter 1, verse 6 and 7. If you're asking in faith, you're trusting in faith, you cannot waver. You cannot doubt. Because like they say, if you're praying and asking the Lord for something and you don't have that faith, what's the use in you praying for it? It's just like you saying, well, I'm going to pray for it. I know I ain't going to get it. Well, you didn't even have no faith from the beginning, so why are you going to pray? There's no need in praying if you look at it that way. You leave it alone. But you got to have faith before you get down there and you pray and you ask the Lord for something. And you got to get up believing and trusting, as the Bible lets us know, believe that you've already received. It may not be right there in front of you yet, but believe that you have received that. If it be God's will, everything's going to be all right. So just keep the faith. Keep on holding on. Keep on believing. Don't doubt. And some people, what gets me is it's like a little story at the shop. Like the young lady needed a car. I mean, not the shop, but at the job. And somebody helped her get one, which was a Christian lady. And the car she owed about over $3,000 that it tore up. Well, she was a nice little car, and she was trying to figure out, well, I don't really want to, you know, let this one go back and do this and that. So the Christian lady was saying, don't you just trade it in on that one and let see what they'll do for you and just get you another car. But she goes talking to someone that's an unbeliever, and they tell her, well, you know what you ought to do? She said, what's that? I said, you ought to just let it go back. Well, you're trying to establish credit. And if you mess around and just let something go back, your credit's throughout the window. You can't establish your credit then. So you have the spiritual side telling you something good to do with it. Then you have the real side telling you something negative to do with it. So you in between. It's just like it's just like the Bible lets us know that we're in between of sin and spiritual, so tossing one another, struggling between each other. But she had the right ideal and the right encouragement, Christian lady, on what to do. But you're going to go listen to someone out in the world that's looking to hurt you by talking you into doing something negative that you is going to lose out on. So we have to watch the people that we encounter with. And we have to look at them situations, because we're living a spiritual life. If I'm going to live a spiritual life, and then every time you see me, I'm hanging out with the boys out there in the world and everything else going this mess around and about them. How can I be a child of God and a Christian, and I'm hanging out with this mess in the world and everything, and not never hanging out with the spiritual
saints? That's right. That's right.
I'm no good to God. I'm not doing God's will. I'm not living up to what the will of God has given me as the great salvation that his son has died for me to have, because I'm looking to go back out into the world and live it. And then I say, well, yeah, I got saved when I was 12 years old. Now I'm 65 years old, and I'm still saved after all the stuff I did in the world. It can't be. It's not no once saved, always saved. I heard many people tell me this. Well, I got saved such a time. And I'm looking at their life, not judging them. I'm looking at the life that they live, and the life's not adding up to be that salvation that they're telling me that they're supposed to have. And they're thinking that they're still saved. So we can be deceived by many people if we don't ask the Lord to give us that discernment of spirit, not to be blinded by the mistake of other people's sin.
You can't hang with the wrong crowd, so you'll get messed up.
No, you can't. You cannot hang with the wrong crowd. You have to have a change and separate yourself from the wrong crowd.
Yeah, you have to.
If you don't separate yourself, you're no good. You're not going to be able to live a Christian life.
No, you can't. You can't live a Christian life standing around with the sinner man.
No, you can't. I first got saved, I'll tell this story to the glory of God, because I always put it out there, because I know from experience that when God saved me and I went back to hang around the bathroom with the same crowd, God has saved me. It hasn't been long saved.
Same crowd hanging around the bathroom talking all the junk that they was talking, but I wasn't talking all of that. When I got to talking, the curse word came out. And everybody, because they know that I then told them that God had changed my life and I was saved now.
Right.
They're looking at me. And I felt bad. I felt real bad. And I had to ask the Lord to forgive me. I said, Lord, I made a commitment to you that I would live the life of you and not of the world. From that day forward, I walked away from them guys. And every day after that, I bought my Bible in during those break times. And I would sit on my job, and I would start reading the Word of God. And it changed for the better. It let me know I had to pray, God, take this away from me. Take these words out of my mouth. Help me not to be around this same mess that you bought me out of. Because I knew... I put myself in a position for this. When he had bought me, I went right back to it. So, yeah, you have to you have to separate yourself.
You have to. Yes, you do.
The Bible says, be ye separate.
That's what he says.
We have to.
You can't have, you have to. Oh, Lord.
And there
mercy.
Has to be. There has to be, you had to see the difference between saved and unsaved, holy and unholy, clean and unclean, righteous and unrighteous. You had to see the difference. If you out here fooling around with the world that think you're going to be going to heaven, you're not.
You're not going. You're not.
No, you're not.
You can't devil and dabble with the world.
You sure can't.
You can.
No matter what people say.
You doing all right tonight?
I'm doing fabulous, sweetheart.
Good. Good. Sounds good. Good to hear you.
All right. If,
thank you. Good to hear you guys.
Yes, ma'am.
Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Praise God.
I have this number 14 here that I want to read. It says, who are self-righteous? It says, the Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself. God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulteries, or even as the tax collectors. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I perceive. And the tax collector standing afar off would not so much as raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. So the Pharisee, he thought everything that he did not like somebody else was all good and glorious and righteous and everything to make himself look good. But all the time, he was self-righteous because it was all about him. He didn't make it about nobody else. All he did was put people down. He didn't try to uplift or encourage. It was all about what he did to make himself look good away from other people. And that's what we're not supposed to do as God's people.
No.
We're supposed to uplift, encourage, love, and do the best we can to help one another, pray for one another, instead of looking down on one another. We're not supposed to do that.
That's right.
That is absolutely
true. Lord, have mercy.
I mean, you're only making yourself look bad.
That's right. What did the other man say? What did the other man say? When he prayed.
The other man said, he said, I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the others. Said, because what he did, said, God be merciful to me, mm-hmm. a sinner. He mm-hmm. committed and let God know that be merciful to him because he was a sinner man.
Mm-hmm.
I tell you, this man mm-hmm. went down to his house justified rather than the others simply mm-hmm. because he acknowledged who he was.
Who he was.
He acknowledged that he was a sinner man. He wanted God to be merciful to him, to be the man that he was, that he wanted that change. He was sincere.
Yes, he was sincere.
And that's God, what
that's
he did
right.
for him. But the Pharisees, he threw all of this mess out there, talking down on everybody around that he not be like this. Or this one ain't no good, that one ain't no good. But this man has for mercy. And told God, I am. So, you know, it lets you know God knows the heart. This man's
heart.
He was a sinner, and he wanted to change in life.
Yes,
but the Pharisees, he wanted to make it look like I'm already where I need to be. I don't need nobody. I don't need to be like this man. I don't need to be like that man. I'm more above than them than they are. He made himself look big, but in all, he was more of a sinner than the man. He was sinning more than the man that was asking for mercy.
Have mercy. Lord,
this
have
man
mercy.
Committed his sin. He committed it to the Lord. The Pharisee, he didn't commit anything but troubles and downgrading people.
Lord, have mercy.
So we know that God is a heart. He reads the heart. He's a heart person. And if you're sincere from the heart, he will bless you. Because it said this man humbled himself.
Yes, he did.
It says he went down to his house justified rather than the others. He was justified rather than the Pharisee.
Right.
For everyone who exalts himself will be humble. And he who humbles himself will be exalted. So this man humbled himself because he had committed he was a sinner. Pharisee, he exalted himself above all like he was more. I mean more than all of these people. I pay my tithes the way I should. I do this, I do that. It was all about I when it came to the Pharisee.
That's right.
His main purpose was God, I.
That's what Luther was doing.
And that's what gets you in trouble. Because he kept saying, he said, God, I thank you that I am not like other men. And then he said, down here, I fast, I give.
Yeah,
I possess. It was all about I.
About him.
So he wasn't thinking about anything but himself.
But himself.
He didn't put God first in anything. It was all about I, God. I did this. He wasn't saying God did anything, but this man looked up and said, God, have mercy on me.
Have mercy on me, a sinner. And that's what God, he wants us to do. Come
and that was a heart thing, Gary.
Yes.
That was a heart thing.
Praise
so
God.
So he was
praise.
Asking for that mercy.
He was asking for mercy.
He knew exactly that he needed God's mercy to change him.
That's right. It takes God.
And that's what we all need when it comes to serving
praise
the Lord. We
that's
have to
truth.
Move that eye out of the way
that's
and
right.
put God.
That's right. That's
God
right.
first and ask God to do it. Not I did. Or
right.
I'm
we
doing.
Can't do it. God
we can't do it without
we
his
can't
help.
Do it.
We can't
but
do a thing.
No, we it can't do
it. It takes him in everything that we do. Everything
do
we live, it. Everything we say,
yes, right.
everything we
right.
think,
that's
it takes
right.
him to help us do it all.
Oh, it takes God to help us. Oh, Lord, yes, it does. Yes, it does.
Well, it looks like we got to another program.
Oh,
the and
Lord.
To God be
praise
the glory.
God.
We do thank y'all
God
for calling
yes.
in and supporting
the
program and all of the encouraging
praise
words
God.
That helped
God.
Along.
Praise
and I hope that
oh,
there's
yes.
someone out
yes.
there listening somewhere
praise
that
God.
Got something out of it that may help them see that we
oh,
are
yes.
here to
oh,
serve. one another, do
serve
God's will, and trust in the Lord, and love one another, and continue to pray for one another.
That's right.
This is not about it's about one another. It's about us.
That's right.
We're not going to look at it as I did, I will, and I won't. This is
about
us and God's glory being in each and every one of us to do his will.
Praise the Lord. Praise God.
So we love each and every one. We pray for you and hope you have a blessed rest of the night and the rest of the week. And Saturday at 8 o'clock, I'll be back in again, Lord's will, that I live to see it, to do it all over again. So shalom, and I hope you have a blessed night. Shalom.
Shalom. Thank you.
Yes, ma'am. Shalom.
Bye-bye.